Cecilia was born in 1974 in Argentina. And even from a very early age, she showed a great desire to help other people, and especially wanting to be a nurse. This was kind of like her lifelong dream to get into medicine and be a nurse. Now, everyone that she talked to about this, you know, and they asked her, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she said, I want to be a nurse. They would explain to her, like, that's going to be very difficult. You know, you have to do well in your schooling and well in your testing. You have to give yourself entirely to this career and dedicate yourself to this mission of being a nurse and helping people. And so she did. Even in elementary school, she devoted herself to her study. She worked extra hard to get good grades. She made it through middle school, high school. She gave it her all, knowing that she would need scholarships to go to college. She geared everything in her life, even at a young age, towards this goal, this dream of being a nurse. And she did very well. She made it through high school. She got the scholarship. She went off to college. She studied there. She went on to graduate studies after that, gotten all the requirements lined up that she needed to become a nurse. And finally, at the age of 26, she had fulfilled everything that she needed to do to become a nurse. But those last few years, in which she was giving her all towards this goal, trying to fulfill this part of her life, she found herself spinning her wheels. She just felt like she wasn't getting anywhere, that things had somehow gotten away from her. Here she was on the brink of achieving a lifetime of pursuing a goal. And when she finally got it, there was just, I don't know, an emptiness to it. It didn't mean as much to her as she thought it was going to, spending all this time preparing for it. And so she did something that surprised her family, and they were not the most impressed with her decision. But she decided that she was going to abandon all of that, that this, the studies, the work that she put into becoming a nurse, she was going to leave it all behind and join a Carmelite monastery instead. And her family thought this was crazy. They thought she was crazy for doing this. But she joined the monastery and began to realize that there was this whole other life available to her that she didn't know existed. She found herself smiling more often, laughing more often, feeling fulfilled. After a few years being in there, she finally made final vows in 2003. And she was a young woman that couldn't stop smiling. In fact, you talk to the other sisters that she lived with, and they were rather annoyed with Cecilia most of the time, now Sister Cecilia Maria, because she was just always smiling. Every day she'd be smiling, and not just like a smirk or a small grin. I mean, we're talking like a full toothy grin every day. And she would laugh all the time. She would be cracking jokes. Like, she just was enjoying life. And they were like, is she even human? Because surely, you know, she's going to have a bad day one of these days, and she's not going to be smiling. But she never stopped smiling. And for 12 plus years, the whole monastery benefited from it. It was contagious. Everyone there, when they would see Sister Cecilia Maria, they would start smiling as well. They would start laughing as well. It became a very, very happy place to be. A place full of joy. Then at the age of 42, Sister Cecilia Maria began to realize that she was experiencing difficulty speaking more often. She was having troubles eating as well. Her tongue, there was a great pain in her tongue. So she went to the doctor to get it checked out and was told that she had a very, very rare form of cancer. It was a cancer of the tongue. And more than that, it had metastasized into her lungs as well. Now, after this diagnosis was given to her, the doctor said, you know, there's very little we can do. It's inoperable. To do any kind of treatment would probably not work, and it would just add to the agony you're already going to experience. And so the doctors told her that she only had 6 months to live. Now, after that diagnosis, Sister Cecilia Maria went back to the convent, and she was bedbound for those next 6 months, basically. She lost the ability to speak entirely because her tongue just wouldn't function. She could hardly eat at all. And because the cancer had spread to her lungs, she was in constant agony. Things that we take for granted, like breathing, to her were an agony. She dreaded every time that she would have to take in a breath because of the pain that it inflicted. It felt like she was drowning all the time, not able to fulfill her lungs. But yet, in those 6 months, she still never stopped smiling. The other sisters would come to visit her, and she would still be wearing that smile. Even though she couldn't speak, she could hardly eat, hardly breathe. It was almost as if she was smiling to spite the pain. It was almost like in the sense of that pain taking hold, this was her one avenue to fight back, that she was going to be joyful even when she was feeling horrible. That even in her misery, she was going to find that joy that Christ promises us. And she could still write. She wrote out her funeral plans for her fellow sisters, and she wrote down, "After I pass, there should be great and intense prayer for me after I go. But don't forget to celebrate as well. Don't forget to keep smiling and to laugh." In July of that year, at the age of 42, Sister Cecilia Maria passed away from her cancer. But on her deathbed, something amazing happened. As per usual, she had that smile on her face as she passed away, in spite of the pain. And if you know anything about the human body and anatomy, when we die, our muscles begin to relax. We no longer have contorted muscles anywhere in our body. And so any facial features that we would have, it kind of goes away. Our jaw becomes slack. Our eyelids begin to droop. I mean, all this happens after death. But not for Sister Cecilia Maria. After she died, she still had this massive smile on her face. Her teeth were still showing. She had the cheeks uplifted. She even had the little crinkles around her eyes. It was almost as if death had no power over that joy. And the sisters, you know, being in the modern age, this was 2016 when this happened, they did what, you know, I guess you would assume people would do nowadays. They got their cell phones out, and they took pictures of this. And they uploaded it everywhere. They put it on their Twitter accounts and Facebook and all over the place, and it went viral. This image of this deceased nun with a smile on her face went all around the world. And the reason it went viral, people were amazed by this, not because of some scientific miracle. You know, it wasn't because they were sitting there thinking, well, you know, anatomically, you know, she shouldn't be smiling. I mean, her muscles should be relaxed. That wasn't what they were looking at. They were looking at this deceased nun and her amazing smile, because the look on her face was one of pure ecstatic joy, one of someone who was in love. And the entire world, looking at that image, found themselves jealous of this woman who had given up everything, even life. Today we celebrate Gaudete Sunday, this day of rejoicing. We hear it in the readings time and again. Rejoice, I say it again, rejoice. This joyful day that Christ is coming. And I think it's a good day to recognize that there is a significant difference between joy, a spiritual condition, and happiness. Happiness, it's a good thing. We should pursue it. We want happiness in our lives. But it is a... It's contingent on other things most of the time. And you know this in your own life. Happiness comes because things are going well for us, you know. We were able to get a good parking spot in the morning. We were the first one in line at Walmart. We didn't have to wait forever in our cart. Our Christmas shopping is going great. These things that are good and compelling, they make us happy, and that's fine. But happiness can be lost. Happiness can fade. Joy, on the other hand, is something much deeper. It's not based on the condition of her life. Sister Cecilia Maria had joy in her heart, not happiness. She was miserable those last 6 months of her life. She was in constant agony and pain. She was not happy. But she was joyful. And for us, that should be the deep desire in our hearts, not the happiness, but the joy that comes with this faith of ours. And this is the time for it. The Christmas season, all these songs that we sing, they don't talk about happiness. They talk about joy. We don't sing, happiness to the world, the Lord has come. No, it's joy to the world. We don't sing, oh, tidings of comfort and happiness. First of all, it doesn't fit very well, but it just doesn't work with the spirituality of Christmas. We have, you know, oh, come all ye faithful, happy and triumphant. It's weak. It doesn't work. And there's a reason for that. This is a time of joy, something that cannot be taken away from us, something that does not diminish or fade with the passage of time, but it is there because God has made it there. Now, how do we fulfill that joy? How do we make that come about in a new and exciting way this Advent season as we get ready for Christmas? Well, it's very simple, actually. It's spelled out in the Gospels. It's even spelled out in the candles that we light. Deacon Mike did a great job last week speaking about this. The first candle is one of hope. Hope, this awesome virtue that in and of itself, as the very beginning of it, it is a virtue that recognizes that things are not perfect in our life. The only reason that we have hope is because something is lacking and we hope that it's still on its way. Our hope is in something beyond what we already have. And so in hope, suddenly we are placing our destiny in something greater than ourselves, that we are hoping that something magnificent and awesome is still on its way. It's still coming into our lives. That where we are right now is not perfection. That's a good thing. Hope is an amazing virtue. The next candle is faith. Faith that in that hope, we can place our trust in a being that is greater than we are. That faith that recognizes that beyond us is someone who loves us beyond all telling, which leads us then to the third virtue that we need to practice, which is love itself. The greatest of these is love. The recognition that the other person matters, that other people matter, that God matters, not just our own selfishness and our own desires. We get a chance to look outside of ourselves for once and be free. And so in these virtues of faith, hope, and love, these theological virtues, we find joy. Now, what's amazing about those virtues, they are separate from the other virtues, right? These are set aside, the theological virtues. They are greater than the other virtues. The other virtues are just a middle way. They stand between two extremes. Take courage, for instance. One extreme of courage is cowardice. It's being afraid of the obstacles in our lives. The other extreme beyond courage is if we don't recognize the dangers in our life and we're reckless and foolhardy. These are the extremes. Courage stands in the middle. It stands between two extremes and it holds us to a central point. But these virtues, faith, hope, and love, are not those virtues. These virtues know no extreme. You can go all the way with these virtues and you'll never hit an extreme. With hope, you can hope all the way and it always will be fulfilling. We can never hope enough. Faith is the same way. You can never have enough faith. You can never love enough. These virtues inspire us to go the distance. And in these virtues, we experience a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so for us, on this Gaudete Sunday, this third candle of joy, let us try to find this deeper meaning in our lives that Sister Cecilia Maria found and lived out so that nothing can take it away from us. Maybe, too, we will have that same goofy smile that she had, a smile of a young woman who is deeply, nobly in love. Amen.